Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Catholicism Rocks Show. My name is William Hemsworth. I'm partner director here over at Catholicism Rocks. Please check out our website, CatholicismRocks.com, for a lot of cool resources. Today, I want to talk to you about St. Thomas the Apostle. We know him as Doubting Thomas. So St. Thomas is someone who brings up mixed emotions among Christians, okay? There are even non-believers who've heard of him. So he was not among the other disciples when our Lord appeared to them, to the other disciples, that is. And as a result, Thomas said that unless he puts his fingers into the side of our Lord, that he will not believe. This one statement would define St. Thomas for all of history and give him the moniker of Doubting Thomas. But there is much more to St. Thomas than this moniker. Now, there is very little written about him. In fact, throughout the whole of Scripture, there are only 12 verses that specifically mention him. Now, there are many of these verses that capture the essence of this saint's character. So we learn about his great faith and leadership. We learn about what a disciple is and how to fulfill that calling, just as St. Thomas did. Now, obviously, he's an apostle of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's interesting that we never see Thomas mentioned in Scripture outside of the group of disciples. So let me read you one passage here. Matthew chapter 10, verses 2 through 4 says, "The names of the 12 apostles are these: first Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him." Conversely, John chapter 21, verse 2 says, "Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together." So what difference do you see in those two readings that I just read to you? There's a couple interesting things about these passages. Matthew gives a listing of the 12 disciples, while John does not. And so in regards to the Gospel of John and the others, it's important to mention the order of the names being presented. Matthew has Thomas listed seventh among the 12, while John has Thomas listed after Peter every time there's a listing of disciples. And that's very important. Now, it was not uncommon during that time to list people in order of importance. Matthew had virtually no part in the gospel narrative of Matthew. In John's gospel, Thomas is listed right after Peter, and Thomas plays a pivotal role in the narrative in John, in the Gospel of John. Now, the Gospel of John is also the only gospel to refer to Thomas as Didymus. Out of the 8 references to Thomas, John refers to him 4 times as Didymus. This term is actually what the name of Thomas is in Greek. The term actually means the twin. And some scholars suggest that Didymus is the legitimate name of Thomas. Although, to be honest, there's little evidence to support that theory. Now, like I said before, there's very little known about Thomas inside Scripture. 7 of the 12 disciples were fishermen, and Thomas may have been among them when Jesus told them to follow him, as we read in Mark chapter 1, verses 16 through 20. Now, when or where Thomas was called to be a disciple is not made clear in any of the 4 Gospels. In fact, it almost seems like he appears out of nowhere as part of the 12. But whatever the reason was for Thomas to be made a disciple, his role is totally understated. What kind of disciple was he? Okay, was he the type of person that did his job and like stayed out of the limelight? Now, in its most basic definition, a disciple is someone who follows the Lord and does his or her best to follow God's will for their life. If we have proclaimed Christ, if we follow Christ, we are counted among the disciples or followers of Jesus Christ. In fact, Scripture now has given us the term, you know, the priesthood of believers. Yes, we are all disciples, but do we need to know the will of the Father to be a good disciple? 100%. Yes, yes, yes. Christ himself said, "Those who do the will of my Father are my brothers and sisters." In the case of Thomas, Maybe he was a very good disciple and only had one incident. And this is the famous one where he doubted the resurrection of Christ. Now, the Gospel of John gives us some great insight into the leadership of Thomas that we often overlook. Now, the scripture passage that most shows his leadership is John chapter 11, verse 16. And this is what it says. Thomas, called a twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." Now, the background of this passage is found in John chapter 10, when Jesus and the disciples are attending the annual Feast of Dedication, which is, we also know as Hanukkah. And so in John chapter 10, verse 24, the Pharisees confront Jesus and demand that he tell them if he is the Messiah or not. In John chapter 10, verse 30, Christ responds with, "I and the Father are one." This simple yet profound statement by Christ answered the Pharisees' demands. But were they happy? No. They demanded to know if he was the Messiah. Christ answered them by saying that he and God are the same. The Pharisees started accusing Christ of blasphemy and wanted to stone him. And we read about this in John chapter 10, verses 31 through 33, which says, "The Jews picked up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, 'I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you going to stone me?' The Jews answered him, 'It is not for a good work that we are going to stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God.'" Now, Jesus escaped this stoning situation, and he and the 12 find refuge outside of Jerusalem. Now, around this time, word comes to Jesus that his friend Lazarus has died. And we find this passage is in John chapter 11, verses 1 through 15. Jesus wanted to return to Bethany so he could pay his respects to Lazarus. And upon hearing the disciples, the disciples tried to talk Jesus out of going to Bethany. And this is what they say. And we read this in John chapter 11, verse 8. The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and you're going there again?" The disciples were terrified to return. After all, the Jewish leaders had just tried to murder their leader for the charge of blasphemy. Now, there's no doubt they also feared for their lives as well. After all, they might very well have been executed as heretics for believing that Christ was God, the Son of God. Now, here stood Christ, who wanted to go pay homage to his friend Lazarus. He wanted to go comfort the relatives and continue his mission, but the disciples were discouraging him from doing so. That is, except one disciple. In John chapter 11, verse 16, this is what it says. So Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us go, that we may die with him." Wow. While the other disciples are grumbling among themselves and telling the Lord not to do something, Thomas steps up to the plate. He says, if Christ is going to die, let's support him, go with him, and if we die, so be it. Amazing. St. Thomas was a leader among the disciples in this situation. He saw the overall picture of Christ's mission and wanted to do everything he could to lend his support. This is the kind of leadership that Jesus was looking for in the disciples. Now, Christ knew what all their futures held. He knew what all the disciples, what their future was going to be. He knew that 11 of the 12 would suffer martyrdom. But Thomas was the first to speak up for Christ and show his true leadership and courage. This leadership and courage would lead him to ministry in India, where he would suffer martyrdom by having a spear thrust into his chest. So, my friends, are we willing to be like St. Thomas? if we look back on our lives, we're going to see plenty of times where we were like the other disciples, afraid, grumbling, whatever the case is. Heck, I'm sure I did some of that stuff today. No, maybe we're denying being Christians so our friends don't think we're strange. You know, there's no limit to the ways that we discourage the Holy Spirit from manifesting in our lives. But through this all, there's hope. There's hope. No matter how many times we hide, no matter how many times we say we don't know, no matter how many times we sin, we could read the story of St. Thomas. Thomas was in the company of disciples, these great saints like St. Peter, St. Andrew, St. Matthew, these great men who history has adorned with many accolades. And then it's St. Thomas who steps up at the most opportune time. His willingness to go when no one else wanted to speaks volumes. He was going to be there to support Christ any way he could, even if it meant giving his own life in the process. Now, are we willing to give this sacrifice? If we are passionate about getting souls to heaven, then we should be. There's a person in your office that's hurting. There's a person in your neighborhood doing something to escape the pain of their life. And yet we have the answer. You see, the sisters of Lazarus were greatly grieved when their brother Lazarus died. Jesus not only wanted to go see Lazarus, but he also wanted to comfort and empathize with the family. What if no one stepped up to say, "Lord, I'll go with you"? Are you willing to show leadership and courage to go where the Lord wants you to go? Are you willing to admit that you are a follower of Christ, that you're a part of his church? Are you willing to let your life reflect that commitment? Are you willing to share the love of Christ of those who are hurting? If not, you're being like the other disciples in this situation, not being like St. Thomas. Now, Thomas has a bad reputation for not initially believing the resurrection, but he showed leadership and commitment far, far before the other disciples did. So what would the other apostles have done if they were in that position? He didn't want to be led astray from false teaching. Yeah, he wanted to see proof. And yes, our Lord said, "Blessed are those who do not believe." But what would we do? What would we do in that situation? When you were told that the person you were following rose from the dead and you just saw him die a couple days before. So yeah, maybe he had a lapse in judgment. But for all of history, he has this moniker of Doubting Thomas. But in reality, we're all doubting Thomases in one way or another. But let's not dwell on that. We could be the leader that St. Thomas was as well. And that's why I wanted to do this show today, because there's so much we could learn. So much that he could teach us about leadership, being faithful to Christ, and not just that moment of doubt that he is so known for. Well, God bless you all. Thank you for joining me today on this episode of Catholicism Rocks. God bless you all. Take care.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
When you fly from Tucson International Airport, the journey is easy, from ticketing to takeoff. With affordable, convenient parking, shorter security and check-in lines, and less time wasted compared to driving to Phoenix. At TUS, air travel is as close to relaxing as it can get.
TUS can get you easily to over 400 destinations around the world. Book your summer trip today at flytucson.com and sign up for a chance to have TUS pay you back for your airfare and parking. One winner will be chosen each month this summer.